two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Right now, 85 degrees in Salt Lake City. KSL's top story. We're learning more about the Buffalo, New York shooting that left 10 dead, injured 3 over the weekend. Police now say the suspect in the shooting visited that grocery store back in March. We have two reporters on the story this afternoon. First, KSL News Radio's Jessica Lowell begins our team coverage on the investigation.
Buffalo Police Chief Commissioner Joseph Grimaglia says there's new evidence the 18-year-old suspect visited the Tops Friendly Market a couple months ago. He says the white gunman accused of a racially charged rampage planned to target more places if he had escaped the scene. Grimaglia says the suspect had a large digital footprint, so the investigation will be ongoing. Jessica Lowell, KSL News Radio.
Live team coverage on the reaction here in Utah. Here's KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz. Lindsay?
And Jeff, Utah has a Safe UT app that local officials say could have helped in a situation like we saw with the accused Buffalo shooter. The suspect reportedly had made a threat against his school and had written about his plans. App officials say 93% of school shooters give some sort of warning signs beforehand. They say that's where parents, teachers, and kids can anonymously report anything they think is a safety threat.
About once a week or more frequently, there are weapons confiscated and planned school attacks that have been foiled because of the Safe UT app.
Representative Steve Ellison helped bring that app to Utah schools and says 393 potential school threats were reported last year. Reporting live, Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
Thank you, Lindsay. The site of Saturday's mass shooting is now a makeshift memorial as the investigation continues.
This supermarket was a real point of pride for this community. Until it opened, there wasn't another one in this neighborhood. And with it closed for the foreseeable future because of what police have described as the lengthy investigation into the shooting, it has been left to church groups and other nonprofits to come and set up tents and tables, even here in the pouring rain, to donate food to members of the community who have nowhere else to go.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky from Buffalo. Police say they believe they have a man responsible for a California church shooting in custody. Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes says investigators believe 68-year-old David Chow drove from his home in Las Vegas to Laguna Woods, California. He opened fire on a lunch banquet at a Presbyterian church. One person died. Five others were wounded.
During the course of his arranging his assault, we located several bags within the facility. They contained magazines with additional ammo, four Molotov cocktail-like incendiary devices that he had placed around the inside of the church.
David Chow is a 68-year-old Chinese immigrant. The FBI's opened a hate crime investigation. They believe he may have targeted the largely Taiwanese congregation because of his anger over political tension between China and Taiwan. Police in Montana say a man killed in an accident involving a garbage truck was a 24-year-old from Utah. Helena police say Jacob Garza apparently took shelter in a cardboard recycling bin when the container was picked up by the garbage truck and he was killed. Police don't think the driver knew he was in there. A new report says Utah has been financially investing less in its next generation over the past few years. The report from the nonprofit called the Utah Foundation looks at how well the state is focusing on the physical and mental needs of its youth.
The report says the amount of money Utah spends on parks and recreation has been declining over recent years, although Utah is still one of the top-ranked states nationwide when it comes to parks and rec spending. The report also says spending on public education has decreased, but the number of nonprofit youth organizations in the state has increased recently. The report suggests these decreases could be related to the declining birth rate. However, the report says even with that in mind, it appears Utah is spending less on its youth. Martha Harris, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 4:04. We have developing news. The FDA this afternoon announced it's reached an agreement with the nation's largest infant formula plant to reopen their Michigan production plant, which could ease the nationwide shortage. Eventually.
It's welcome news to parents struggling to find baby formula. The FDA says inspections show that Abbott has solved its contamination issue and could restart making the infant child nutrition in the next 2 weeks. Still means it could be more than a month before the supply is back to normal on store shelves. In the meantime, the FDA is also working on improving imported formula.
That's ABC's Andy Field. We're learning this afternoon that Weber State's men's basketball coach is retiring. Randy Ray has been with the team 16 seasons. His assistant coach will take over. Eric Duft becomes the team's 10th head coach since entering D1. KSL News Time, 4:05.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.